We interrupt our regularly scheduled program with breaking news. What for many was a tragic death on Friday afternoon has quickly become a perplexing mystery. Eyewitnesses report that the tomb where the body of Jesus was allegedly buried is now empty. Theories are already circulating that the body was stolen in the night, but a growing number of witnesses are reporting that they have seen Jesus alive. What exactly are these people seeing? Could it be true that Jesus, the alleged miracle worker, actually rose from the dead? Well, good morning and happy Easter, everybody. Jesus is risen. I'm Pastor Nate, and if you're new to our live stream, we are Cornerstone Community Church. We are a church that used to meet on the campus at Kutztown University Sunday mornings. Now we meet in your living room. So thanks for having us today. We do hope to eventually get back to our physical location, but for now, meeting like this has been really great. We've had a lot of details we're trying to figure out today. We got some different things we're doing, so hopefully all will work out. Those of you who are prayer warriors, pray that the technology works for us today. But it is really good to be doing this together and to see different people from all over the country pop up online who used to be part of the Cornerstone family. So welcome, whatever state you're coming from, and everybody who's from locally around here, we thank you for welcoming us into your home today. Joining us in the studio this morning, we've got Jay Kench and Shannon Fleming. Without their expertise, the best you'd be getting from me is an email. So two of my daughters are also with me today. They are here, Abigail and Joanna. They'll be joining us in a minute. They are here to help us celebrate Jesus through music. And we're going to do some singing today. We're going to think about what has happened, what we're celebrating. We've also been talking about something called, I don't know if my computer's working. Let's see. So are we on the main screen? Okay. So we've been talking about Jesus changed my life, how Jesus has changed our lives, and there's some videos that are going to be playing after the live stream that you can watch, and just encourage anybody who wants to go to that hashtag. I'll mention that later, but it's hashtag Jesus changed my life, and just so many stories of how God has been changing people's lives. So Easter is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we need to ask, why is such an ancient event such a big deal to us? It's because it's the first resurrection among many. 1 Corinthians 15, you can see it on the screen, says this, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him." The good news is that because of the resurrection, we know that life doesn't end here on this earth. People who die don't stay dead. We are immortal creatures made for eternity. And the resurrection of Jesus is the most convincing proof and evidence that it's true. Our resurrection, our eternal life, is 100% dependent on Jesus' resurrection. So today is a day of really good news. Jesus changed my life, and I know he's changed many of your lives as well. So lots of people across the country are celebrating this morning together. Lots of people across the country posted their stories this week how Jesus changed their lives. So check out that hashtag, Jesus changed my life, later on today. Lots and lots of stories. I love to hear stories how Jesus changed our lives. So I want to kick off our morning with a reading from the Gospel of John. This has been pre-recorded by many of Cornerstone folks, so thank you guys, especially Juniper, thank you. And Will's going to make a special appearance here too, so it's really good to see you guys. And we're just going to have this reading from the Gospel of John, and it's John's account of Jesus and some of his closest followers on Resurrection Day.
John 20, 1 through 18. "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him.'
So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first.
He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen.
Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciple went back to where they were staying.
Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her,
"Woman, why crying? Woman, why crying?"
"They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize that it was Jesus.
He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you were looking for?" Thinking she was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him."
Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher.
Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Wow, this story doesn't fit with fairy tales and legends. This one's true. And if Jesus changed your life, your story is linked directly to this story. So let's celebrate the resurrection victory by singing a couple of old classic songs that Jesus followers have been singing for a really long time. The first one is called "Christ the Lord is Risen Today." This thing was written in 1739, and it's got a word in it that's repeated, "Alleluia." Christ the Lord is risen today, alleluia. That word, it means praise God. Halal is the word for praise. Yahweh is the name for God. So you're going to keep singing that over and over a few times, and we're going to celebrate the resurrection. And then the next song was written 200 years exactly later, 1939, and that's "Victory in Jesus." And I hope your story is reflected in that song. Let's sing together. I know we're separated by a screen, but can you sing with us? And you can even rise to your feet. However you can sing the best, sing your heart out to God. Jesus is risen from the dead. Victory in Jesus. It's an old story. but it's a good one and it touches our lives. I hope you're having a good day so far. This is a great day. It doesn't matter how we meet, we can meet together, and this is good. Easter is a happy day because the resurrection, it's not just dusty old news. Jesus is still changing lives, and I hope he's changed yours. But I want to back up in time just a little bit to before Jesus was crucified. So try to take yourselves back there with me for a minute. Somewhere around 2,000 years ago, the Jewish people lived in constant fear. And imagine you were one of them. Just imagine you were one of these Jewish people. Your homeland, Israel, is under the dominion of the Roman Empire, a ruthless regime that would crush every threat or hint of opposition without a second thought. And so a people who only worship one God were in themselves a threat to the empire. This was an empire of many gods. So for your people, the way the situation was at the time, it's as if a terrible virus has stricken the land, the Roman army. And there's no escape, only submission. But then a sliver of hope begins to rise on the horizon. One of your rabbi is not like the others. His teaching is like none you've ever heard. And his way with people is so different. He's gentle. He's compelling. Doesn't seem to be afraid of anything or anyone. And he speaks of heaven as if he's actually been there. Rumors begin to circulate that he's even has healing powers. You're not so sure until one day you're there when it happens. You will never forget it. You were one of the lucky ones who actually got into the house where Jesus was teaching that morning. The place was absolutely packed, but you don't care. You get to see Jesus. And as he opens your eyes to the true nature of God's kingdom, you begin to hear these strange scraping sounds coming from the roof. Debris begins to fall, and then chunks from the ceiling. And then a huge hole opens in the roof and daylight floods in. Four men have opened this massive hole in the roof of the house, and now they're lowering someone down over this packed crowd. Well, I guess we're going to make room for one more today. Turns out the man's a paralytic, paralyzed from the waist down. And since they couldn't get inside, his friends hoisted him up onto the roof and got him in this way. You got to give him credit. They were determined. The man sort of crumpled as he reached the ground. People packed even tighter to make a space for him. And then, the strangest thing happened. Jesus paused what he'd been talking about. He looked directly at this paralyzed man and said to him, "Your sins are forgiven." Just like that. Right away, I could see the other teachers in the room are not happy. So then Jesus looked straight at them, as if he was looking right into them, and said, "Why are you bothered by this? Would it be easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Get up and walk'? I do have authority to forgive sins, and I'm going to prove it right now." So Jesus looked back at the man. He reached out his hand and said, "Go ahead, stand up. Stand up, roll up your mat, and go home." And that was that. The paralyzed man stood up as if he'd never had a problem. And the crowd parted in astonishment as he made his way out the door. From that moment, I believed. Jesus is our Messiah. He's the one we've been waiting for all these years. And I knew it wouldn't be long now, and the Roman virus would be purged from our land, and we would be free once again. Well, 3 years later, the scene, it's nothing like what I'd anticipated. I followed the angry crowd as they dragged Jesus out of the city. They forced him to carry his cross. Loss of blood had left Jesus so weak he kept stumbling. I was sure he would pass out any minute. Yet they continued to press him forward. What happened? How could it have come to this? Jesus being crucified like a criminal. What had he done to deserve this? As he hung there between heaven and earth, the sky darkened. And we all got the feeling that the entire universe was angry with what we had done. Jesus is dead, and with him, our hope. No one spoke as we walked home. There was nothing to say. Our dreams were shattered. Save us.
cleansing sinners with his blood.
Thank you, Abby and Joanna. Praise the one who saved us. Praise the one who saved us. It's not what they expected. It's not what they thought. It was more. Jesus' followers were not expecting crucifixion. They're expecting victory over Rome. But Jesus could see a different virus that was far more serious than an oppressive government. Jesus saw a virus that had been plaguing humanity since the dawn of time and that had infected 100% of the human population. And Jesus knew this virus had a 100% mortality rate. The virus was sin. That hardwired tendency to do what I want regardless of what God says or how it may affect or hurt others. It's really foolishness. This self-seeking, God-ignoring nature, inherited from our earliest ancestors, had corrupted the entire human race, and Jesus had come to deal the originator of the virus a death blow, offering all those infected the vaccine, himself. You see, this virus was not like normal viruses. People were not helpless receivers of the virus and therefore innocent. They were hungry consumers of it and therefore guilty. Sin was not a disease. It was a rebellion. And for their treason against God, they had earned the death penalty from God himself. And so have we. This is the story of the gospel. The gospel says Jesus took the punishment of our treason and offered us free pardon. Forgiveness was extended from the cross to all who receive it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those were his words from the cross. Forgive them. And he cried out those words for us. In order to forgive us, Jesus had to take our penalty. And this is the great injustice of the cross. We don't get what we deserve. Jesus gets it instead. And the reason we are still celebrating 2,000 years later is because Jesus' offer of forgiveness has no expiration date. The offer has reached us. Today, we're in the midst of the worst viral pandemic this generation has ever seen. It's practically shut down the planet. But coronavirus is not our biggest problem. The worst thing COVID-19 can do is cut short our life in this broken world or take loved ones from us. Our biggest problem can do far worse than that. And what is it? It's the same virus they had in Jesus' day, sin. And left untreated, sin has the power to damn us to hell forever. I wonder if God is using coronavirus not to judge us, but to extend mercy to us by forcing us to slow down and realize just how far from God we've drifted. Who might God intend to reach through this? I wonder if this Easter, God will bring more people than ever to look up to the empty cross and realize how much God wants to be close to them. I wonder if in the silence, we will hear his quiet voice calling us to himself. Have you been numbed to your need for God by the virus of sin? Maybe your sin isn't as obvious to others as some people's is, but we're all infected, and Jesus is the only vaccine. That's what Easter is all about. So I just want to ask you right now, if you're watching live or if you're watching later, has Jesus changed your life? I mean, really changed you? If not, he can. He wants to. And I just want to ask you, are you ready to bow your knee to Jesus and receive the treatment of forgiveness? The book of Romans tells us, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So many people get this confused in their minds. We don't need to make ourselves better to receive the vaccine. That doesn't make any sense. We need the vaccine to get better. So how do you receive the treatment? Romans chapter 10 tells us, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He says anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is good news. Faith in Jesus is all it takes. Faith that he is the Son of God who died for you. And faith that trusts Jesus enough to follow him with your life. And I'm assuming and guessing that some of you listening today have not yet received treatment for your sin. Maybe you like Jesus, but you haven't yet bowed your knee to him in surrender and genuine faith. If that's you, what is holding you back? And I wonder if you would allow me to pray for you right now. God, I pray that you would give every person listening to these words the courage and faith to bow to Jesus in humble surrender. Lord, help them to recognize the gravity of their sin, their need of a Savior. Make them deeply aware of the damage sin has caused in their own lives and the lives of others, and help them to see with beautiful new clarity how much Jesus loves them. And I pray that the transaction of forgiveness would be completed today for every person who needs it, and that everyone listening would taste the goodness of God. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. If you did some business with God today and something clicked for you as you're hearing this old story again, maybe in a new way, would you please let me know? I would love to hear from you. I put my contact information up on the screen. Send me an email, ccc@hometownu.com. Shoot me a text. Give me a call. Lives changed by Jesus is what Easter is all about. And if a friend shared this link with you, let them know. If God used it to pull you closer to himself, let them know about that. That's why they sent it. So many of us have received the gift of forgiveness. Our lives have been changed. We're not perfect, but because of Jesus, the power of sin has been broken in us. We're not slaves to it anymore. And we want to celebrate that together right now, by doing something Jesus instructed his followers to keep on doing until he comes again. He promised to come a second time. That's a big deal too. So what we're going to do right now, we call it communion or the Lord's Supper. And it's just a simple, tangible way to remember Jesus' sacrifice and celebrate his resurrection. And some of you have been practicing this for a very long time, and you might be wondering, how in the world can we celebrate communion when we're not even physically together? Well, you have to get creative. Jesus didn't say you must use red wine or Welch's grape juice. He didn't say make sure your matzah is kosher for Passover. So in our current climate, under the stay-at-home order and social distancing, we're going to allow some flexibility today so we can continue to follow Jesus' command even now. If you're a regular part of the Cornerstone family, you got some instructions by email earlier this week. If not, if you're surprised by this and didn't expect it to come, I'm going to invite you to just get up from where you are, go into the kitchen, grab some bread or cracker, some kind of juice, or you know what, if you don't have juice, you can grab water. Just grab something, bread and some kind of a drink, and together we're going to come together and celebrate this in a kind of flexible way. As we continue, and as maybe you're still gathering what you need, I just want to take a minute to point out that Scripture warns us not to take this lightly or with disrespect. And I can't judge your spirit, and you can't judge mine. That's between us and God. But please understand that just because we're allowing some flexibility in the way we celebrate communion today does not mean we're taking it lightly. Communion is a beautiful gift. This is a beautiful gift Jesus gave to us as his followers to help us continually remember the sacrifice Jesus made for us. So if you've been following Jesus for years, or today's your first day, and something happened with you today, you decide, I want to be a follower of Jesus, we welcome you to join us to do this together. So grab some bread, pour something in a cup, and let's remember together. And by the way, parents, if any of your kids have made the decision to follow Jesus, they are welcome to participate too, if you think they're ready. That's between parent and child. You decide if you think they're ready and they understand what this is about, then you want them to experience this too. That is welcome. Now, for those of you who are still kind of kicking the tires of Christianity and exploring Jesus, we want to welcome you to observe, to watch what's going on, but I encourage you not to actually partake of the elements of the bread and the cup until you're ready to declare yourself a follower of Jesus, because that's really what we're doing. If you go back in your mind again to that very first Lord's Supper, it happened before Jesus was crucified. And the disciples were pretty confused. This one is happening after Jesus was crucified and had risen. And now we understand what it all means. The bread represents Jesus' body that was broken for us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus' sacrifice, his broken body, was enough to cover every sinful thought and act ever committed. Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. You will be accepted regardless of your past. Jesus' sacrifice was enough, and that is beautiful. The cup represents Jesus' blood, which was a lot more than a simple donation to the blood bank. Jesus gave all of it. And at that first Lord's Supper, Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus' blood initiated a new covenant. A new agreement between God and man, a covenant of grace. The covenant of law was being made obsolete, and the new covenant was a covenant of grace. Forgiveness is ours through Jesus and his shed blood. This is beautiful. Now, I've asked Ed Sturdivant if he would lead us by thanking God for the bread and all that it represents.
Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for this precious time of reflection on all that Christ did for us at Calvary. As we partake of this bread in this holy table, we humbly take this bread, bless it, and break it, for your own dear body was broken for us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ed. Let's remember Jesus' body broken for us. Let's do this together. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for Jesus, for this new covenant, for the blood that was shed for us. Thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus made. He gave it all. And you promised that through his shed blood, we could be forgiven. So God, we join together in the confidence of forgiveness through Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Let's remember together Jesus' blood that was shed for us. But when the Apostle Paul was giving instructions about the Lord's Supper, he said this. He said, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So communion is not just a look back, it's a look forward. Because Jesus is coming again. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't stay dead? Man, I am so glad that he didn't stay dead. Communion by Zoom and live stream. It's interesting, right? It might feel a little bit different. But I think it's kind of cool too, because we're proving there's no obstacle that can stop us from celebrating Jesus. We may have stay-at-home orders. We may not be able to get closer than 6 feet away from each other, but we can still celebrate Jesus. We can still celebrate the resurrection. So thank you, everybody who joined by Zoom. Even though it was a little clunky, we still did it. And we wanna sing together a great song that can wrap up our time. It's called Resurrecting. And we invite you to sing with us or just think about what it means. And if you're prompted to just start singing out, feel free to do that. But this is a fantastic song for us to end with. We celebrate the resurrection, not just his, but ours. His resurrection was the first among many. Shines for all to see. the tomb where soldiers watched in vain was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave. Our God has robbed the celebrate, right? Jesus' resurrection is what gives us hope that we too will rise one day. What a reason to celebrate. I hope you've enjoyed your time, our time together this morning, today. But more than that, I hope you've been stirred as you think again about an old story. How has it changed your life? Jesus changed my life. I hope he's changed yours. A couple of comments that I want to make before we sign off. Just a few things. Four things, actually. Number one, if you are taking a step toward Jesus today, maybe even a first step, this is like something new happened, something clicked for you today, please reach out to us. Send me an email, or the person who shared this video with you, reach out to them. We want to celebrate and support how God is working in you. Second thing I want to mention, if you were encouraged by what you heard today and you know someone else who might benefit from hearing this message again, or maybe for the first time, this message of hope, this message of forgiveness that we all need so badly, please share the video with them. It'll be posted on our Facebook and on our website in just a few minutes. It won't be long, and it'll be posted, and you can share that with anybody you want to. I believe God's using this season of live stream church to share the good news of Jesus with all kinds of people who would not otherwise have heard it. People you can invite to your Easter celebration through live stream, through videos, through links. Just share it. Whether it's this video or something else, share this message. Third thing, if we had met in person today, we would have had what we call our first fruits offering, something we do once a year in the springtime. It's a way to, we as a church, we pick some ministry or organization that we really want to get behind what God is doing there, and we just give that money away to that organization. So this year, we have decided 100% of whatever's giving towards the first fruits offering is going to go towards helping people in our area, in our region, who are struggling economically because of the COVID-19 situation. So that's going to help people who need help with groceries, who need help with rent, any things like that. That's going to go to support that. So if you want to give to that, there are multiple ways to give. You can go to our website, kutztownchurch.com, click the link there. You can send a check in the mail to our P.O. box, everything you can find on our website. You can do it through your own bank's bill pay. But make sure if you want to give to the First Fruits offering, there's a note in the memo somewhere that says First Fruits offering or coronavirus help. If you can't remember First Fruits, that's okay. But if you indicate that, we will make sure 100% goes to that, and we will give that to those who need it. God has been good, and you have been generous. We have normal monthly needs too, and God has provided so far in all of this, and we can't even meet together, and you are still giving, and God is providing. So I want to thank you for your generosity and your generous giving. This is just an opportunity to give above and beyond that to help those who are in need. So if you want to be part of that, you are welcome to. This is going to be kind of an open offering rather than just on one Sunday. It's open for the next several weeks. And so if you want to give toward that anytime in the next several weeks, you have freedom to do that. And we will share that with those in the most need. Last thing, whatever obstacle may be keeping you at a distance from those you love today, find a way to overcome it. Get together with people you love, whether it's through a Zoom call or a social distance appropriate walk. Connect with the people who matter to you. This is a day to celebrate, and we want to celebrate with people we love. So I hope you'll be able to do that today in one way or another. We have to get creative in the situation we're in. So from Cornerstone to you, we hope you have a wonderful Easter. It is beautiful outside. It is a gorgeous day, a great day to celebrate. So I hope you have a wonderful day. And remember, because of Jesus' resurrection, we have the hope that we too may rise from the dead as followers of Jesus. So thank you for joining us. Have a fantastic day. Enjoy this final song as you get ready to do whatever's next.
Out of the shadows, bound for the gallows, a dead man walking, to love came calling. Far gone.
everything I've done wrong. Yeah, I'm the one who dug this grave, but you call my name, you call my name. Everybody, he is risen.